Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Gigabit Nation, Broadband Talk Radio. I'm your host, Craig Settles, and I want to thank everyone in the audience for taking time to be with us today. Our mission, as always, is to provide information to help public, private, and nonprofit organizations get faster, better broadband everywhere it needs to be in America. A frequent theme here on the show has been innovation, particularly how do you encourage innovation when the term itself is kind of amorphous. I mean, do you know it when you see it? Maybe, maybe not. But when it comes to broadband, how do you plan for it? How do you nurture it? Is one attack approach or option better than others or more profitable than others? You know, do we sit back entirely and kind of take a laissez-faire attitude toward it? You know, how do we get from here to there when we come with this question of innovation? And we're putting a lot of money into this, into this word, into this concept from state to state. Now, today, we're going to take a look at the broadband developments that are going on in the state of Illinois. And they have a number of interesting initiatives going on to encourage new applications, new creativity, and so forth, basically going down that path toward broadband innovation. And to give us a scoop from Illinois, we have Drew Clark, who is the executive director of the Partnership for a Connected Illinois. Now, this is a nonprofit organization, no connection with Connected Nation, and they have a threefold mission, which is collecting and publishing broadband data, promoting higher quality broadband access throughout the state, and maximizing the impact, adoption, and use of high-speed internet services. Drew, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Craig. I'm very excited to be on this show. As you mentioned, I was on one show earlier before, and very happy to be back and speak about what we're doing at Broadband Illinois. Our website, of course, is broadbandillinois.org, and we use that name because we want to avoid confusion with other entities outside of Illinois in regards to broadband planning and mapping and development.
Mm-hmm. So let's... Wow, you know, there's so much stuff going on in the state, it's hard to know where to begin, but let's start with the bird's eye view. You know, from a state perspective, you know, in short term, what do you have going on there?
Well, I would say the two key things that we would focus on, Craig, are the role of the Illinois governor's Gigabit Communities Challenge. Our organization, Broadband Illinois, has played a key role in helping get the word out, publicize, and promote the Gigabit Challenge. This is a challenge that Governor Pat Quinn of Illinois issued on February 1st of this year in the State of the State Address, and he set aside $6 million in funding, leveraging funding, seed money, if you will, to build super high-capacity broadband networks in the state of Illinois, and opened it up in a competition for communities across the state to put forth applications to bring gigabit-level connectivity to at least 1,000 residents. The applications were due on June 30th of this year. There were 40 communities that put in applications to be awarded. The award process has not yet been completed, and they will be announced at some point this fall. And Broadband Illinois played a key role in helping to work with and facilitate communities and broadband providers together to work together on putting applications for the Gigabit Challenge. So think of that as a big deployment effort, right? That's where our organization has helped to promote broadband deployment, which is one of those three key missions you just articulated. The second thing that we're really involved in, very excited about, and we just launched on August 16th, is the Broadband Innovation Fund. Now, this is a Broadband Illinois-led activity where we are awarding up to $500,000 in funds to organizations, public and private, that are going to develop applications and programs that will advance broadband technology through high-speed networks. And we're going to make at least five awards, so kind of looking at $100,000 or less, up to $100,000 awards, to entities across the state that are going to promote broadband usage, adoption, and impact. And that's something we're very excited about. You can read all about it at broadbandillinois.org/innovation. And the front page of our website, broadbandillinois.org, has many links to it. Applications are due September 11th. So we still have a week and a half to get applications together and in for those of your listeners who are from Illinois and would be interested in participating.
Now, is it just open to Illinois contestants?
It is an Illinois program, so it's open to those who are developing programs to advance broadband usage and adoption in Illinois.
Okay, not a problem. Now, one of the things that jumped out at me immediately is you talked about the fact that the Gigabit Challenge was issued to communities, whereas in some of the like Chattanooga's had its own Gigabit Challenge. Kansas City has had a version of the Gigabit Challenge. In both of these cases, they opened it up to any and everybody who wanted to come in with an application. Or in Chattanooga's case, they brought people in as part of a 2-month-long program, right? But those people that came in were from everywhere. Was it a conscious effort to focus on the communities, say, as opposed to just development teams or entrepreneurs? Or do you see those as one and the same?
We really see the key role here is, it was articulated in the governor's Gigabit Communities Challenge, is that applicants needed to work together. In other words, you need to be have the capacity to build a network as a provider, be a provider, or have that capacity to be a provider, and you also needed the support of your community. So it wasn't an effort to exclude or include. It was an effort to be broad and inclusive, and that's sort of the path we've followed with our Broadband Innovation Fund, too. So I'm not sure if I'm 100% getting at your question, Craig. Am I? Any further elaborations?
Well, I mean, so basically it is a okay, let's try it a different way. In other communities or other cities that are having a similar kind of, call it Gigabit Challenge, it is open to, you know, development teams coming in. You know, I get a, you know, 2 or 3 people on the team to create applications, or I am a company that comes in and says, okay, I've got an application to throw in the mix. This sounds more like you're encouraging community-wide projects. In other words, communities to come together and then present to the state or whatever the body was, it was, you know, that's reviewing all these applications, a community effort as opposed to a small group of individuals.
It was really an effort to do both of those at the same time, Craig. You know, we wanted to encourage the community aspect, but, you know, there's a need to have expertise, business expertise. So the awards, of course, have not yet been announced, the Gigabit Communities Challenge. So we'll get to see once they are done. But we clearly have had a lot of fish and fowl in that contest.
Okay. So, but I guess the key, though, is that you had to both come up with the idea, but also some indication of how you were going to address, or how the community was going to address the actual infrastructure part of it. So it's not, you know, here's an application idea, but here's an application, and oh, by the way, here's how we actually plan to bring it from, you know, idea to program to network.
Yes, it was a need. It was a need to have a concrete network plan. Think again about the Gigabit Communities Challenge as a deployment project and investments in deployment. And now you can think about the Illinois Broadband Innovation Fund that's going on right now as an effort to promote the proposals that will develop the use of those networks through advanced bandwidth and so forth.
Okay, but I think that's a good idea. I mean, it's different, but it's also it's bringing in a wider group of voices. Plus, I'm assuming that you get a lot of community buy-in because, you know, as opposed to having a small team that may or may not live in my town, you know, submitting an application, if it becomes a community project where there's community input, we now have a greater interest in it. We have a greater interest in the finished product, and we'll probably be more likely to become subscribers on the network. I mean, that would be how I would look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. The goal is to use broadband in many ways, and as I've been talking for years, and we've talked before, Craig, there's a need in the broadband realm to bring together so many different stakeholders. For example, the National Broadband Plan that the Federal Communications Commission put together 2.5 years ago was a great statement about how broadband can impact and improve the quality of life in this country, but how many different, you know, departments, agencies, and individuals and companies it touches. It's not exactly something that you have, you know, a set government agency that handles it all. It's got to be collaborative. It's got to bring together lots of different stakeholders. And here in Illinois, one of the things that we at Broadband Illinois see as our mission is helping to implement the National Broadband Plan on a state level. So these are concrete examples of what we're doing in Illinois. Besides the data and mapping that we've been doing for 2.5 years, we're now really deeply engaged in the deployment efforts to advance and promote broadband deployment, higher capacity networks, existing subscriptions on existing networks, but also the advanced capacity, the new ways of using the networks for telemedicine, for educational and distance learning, for agricultural improvements, for public safety operations. Think of all those purposes that the National Broadband Plan spoke about. We want to be able to do that here in Illinois by promoting the use of these networks.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I want to take looking at some from the higher view up, and taking in mind that people listening to the show could be, you know, community planners, it could be statewide planners, how in the beginning did you sort of lay out the plan? Like, how did you structure, the infrastructure for implementing, you know, this vision, this broadband vision from the state? I mean, I understand you created 56 or some odd entities throughout the state, and I'm sure there are other things that happened, but I want to get an idea or a sense of, you know, how did you put the organization part of this together?
Sure, Craig. So, yeah, let me just back up a second on that point, if you don't mind. So, Broadband Illinois is one of 56 different state entities. So, you know, Missouri has one, Iowa has one, Indiana has one, Kansas has one. Each of the states have a state broadband initiative entity. And these entities are funded under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act's allocation of dollars for broadband planning, mapping, and development. And so from this long perspective, Broadband Illinois has been set up as a way to serve as this coordinating entity. We're a nonprofit here in the state. We're delegated by the state to do certain functions, broadband planning and mapping, collaborating to enhance deployment, and promoting broadband adoption, usage, and impact. And so those three core functions have been present from the beginning over the last 2.5, 3 years. And what we've been gradually doing is kind of knocking down item one. We've kind of moved through the mapping and planning, beginning to really engage on the grassroots level through what we call e-teams. These are community teams that we have in 10 regions around the state. Illinois is a very big state, the fifth largest state in the U.S. Population-wise. And so we break up the state into 10 regions. And these e-team regions become a kind of a focus and a mechanism for bringing together providers, the companies like the AT&Ts, the Comcast, the Frontier, the Home Telecom. These are companies that want and need broadband and broadband subscriptions. And our e-teams bring them together with users of the network, with the private sector users, the business users like Caterpillar and John Deere and ADM and big businesses, but also mid-sized and small businesses, and also the community anchor institutions like the libraries, the schools, the hospitals, the workforce centers. These are the people that need better broadband. And so, you know, again, sort of the big vision of broadband and its impact in our country is making sure more people are included, making sure the capacities are improving, and making sure that solutions are devised to address broadband's need in areas like education, healthcare, telecommuting, energy saving, smart grid. And the last area that we've become engaged in through the Broadband Innovation Fund is to use the staff that we've developed, the e-teams that we've got on the ground, the deep relationships and partnerships we've built with many organizations throughout Illinois to work collaboratively to advance broadband. So it's kind of a process of this is what we think a ideal state broadband initiative entity should be doing, exactly what we here at Broadband Illinois or the Partnership for Connected Illinois are doing, which is bringing stakeholders together to make sure that we have the data we need, that we have the partnerships and collaborations we need for deployment, and that we have the opportunities to enhance the usage of broadband networks.
Mm-hmm. And how has all of this come together? I think when we talked, it was probably last August or September, because it was shortly after I launched Gigabit Nation, and you kind of, you know, you gave us the lay of the land. And so if I look at the last year or two, you know, has this worked out as you expected, better than you expected? How would you grade the advancement so far?
Well, we've been really pleased with the traction that we've been getting here in the state. As I mentioned, it's about bringing multiple stakeholders together. So we're not trying to serve just one or the other constituency. We certainly don't favor one type of broadband provider over another. We want to work with all broadband providers, and we want to work with all users, whether they're businesses or community organizations, government, state and local government entities, and consumers. So we're trying to build the partnerships to make it work. And you know, we think we're on a good roll, and we aim to continue as long as we are around and able to serve this role of getting a better broadband and better lives throughout Illinois.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Now, how engaged is the general population as far as you can tell in terms of this broadband thing? Is it still a mystery to them, or have they wrapped their minds around it and are getting fully behind these programs?
Well, this is a great point, Craig. One of the things that we talk a lot about here with our communications team and our web teams is the audience. And in some ways, we almost have to navigate between an audience we call the broadband enthusiasts. You know, you may be familiar with that term, Craig. I think that a lot of your listeners fall in that category of broadband enthusiasts, and the general consumer. And we see our mission as serving both of them, both the broadband enthusiast who has a little more knowledge of the terrain, the space, the issues, why things are necessary, and the consumer who may not know one thing about broadband, if they even know what broadband means, right? High-capacity internet.
Exactly.
Well, what is that exactly? And so one of the things we talk about constantly here, Craig, is the purposes of broadband, things like job creation, education, healthcare, agriculture, public safety, family connectedness, energy and energy savings, e-government. These purposes are the things that link the consumers and their needs and desires to the broadband enthusiasts. And we want to make sure that we are serving the consumers and making sure we're explaining things to them.
Now, the Gigabit Challenge, are you able to talk about what kinds of ideas came up? I mean, in very general terms, because obviously you haven't come up with a winner yet, but I'm just kind of wondering what might have percolated that up.
Would you mind repeating that question, Craig?
Sure. I'm just wondering if you can talk about a couple talk about in broad strokes, maybe a couple of general ideas that percolated up as a result of the Gigabit Challenge contest. You know, I've done a number of stories about, you know, the various applications that were part of the Chattanooga Gigabit contest, if you will. And it was interesting, you know, just to get an idea of what kinds of things people created as a result of that. So I'm wondering if you can talk, like I said, in general terms about what might have or what has been submitted for, you know, from your program.
Great. Thanks, Craig. Just to clarify, we've played a very strong and close role in partnership with the governor's office on the governor's Gigabit Communities Challenge, but we're not making the decisions about who those entities will be. We know there were 40 applicants for the Gigabit Challenge. Mm-hmm. Some number between 2 and 6 of those will receive awards based on the structure of the competition, and we actively worked with about half of these 40 through our e-teams. We have a great e-team organization. Brad Housewright is our e-team director, and he's been working with 4 individuals across the state, and one of their key missions was to make sure these applications were as strong as they possibly could be. So just as an example, Craig, there were applications from Shawnee Telephone Company down in Equality, Illinois. The city of Evanston and Northwestern put forth an application up in the Chicago suburbs. CenturyLink in Galesburg put forth an application. Geneseo Communications in Western Illinois. City of Highland, public entity put forth an application. Conexus LLC down in southwest portion in Jerseyville put an application. Even the Kankakee Daily Journal, a newspaper, put forth an application. There were some Chicago projects. Gigabit Squared teamed up with a lot of community groups on the south side of Chicago. U.S. Sonnet, which has been pumping fiber to the area around Salem, Illinois, in southern Illinois, they put forth an application. Frontier put forth, I believe, 3 separate applications. So it was just a huge medley of lots and lots of different entities that have put forth applications in the Gigabit Challenge. And we're going to have to sort of wait and see who gets the awards. One of the things that we've been talking a lot about, Craig, is that even though there will be many who do not succeed in getting funding under the Gigabit Challenge, our e-teams want to work with those who don't and mm-hmm. to find ways to look for the financing that can promote broadband. I mean, one of the great things about what Google did in its, Think Big with a Gig contest that led to Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri being selected for gigabit-level connectivity is they prompted 1,100 cities across the country, 71 of them in Illinois, to say, we want to be that kind of high-speed city. Well, the thing is, Google was not able to follow up with 1,099 of those. They just followed up with one of them. We want to follow up with all 40 of these. So let's say 3 of these 40 are picked. We want to be focusing on those other 37 and working closely with them to make sure we get high-speed connectivity in those areas throughout the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that exactly where you're coming from with all that. Now, the Innovations Fund, that's the $500,000 fund. How would you characterize the differences between this program and the original program, the one that closed in June?
Sure. The difference is pretty stark. The Gigabit Communities Challenge is for infrastructure and for deployment. The Broadband Innovation Fund is for proposals to use the network. So
okay.
It's the difference between building the network and doing the things on the network that will make people more excited or happy or satisfied or better trained, better capable. It's the difference. It's the difference between the network and what travels on the network, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a stark difference. The one is for infrastructure. The other is for applications adoption usage.
Okay, now I got you. I understand. That makes a lot of sense. Do you feel that there is a broad representation in these ideas that are percolating up, the applications that are coming up, that are from all strata, from an economic standpoint? In other words, are you getting ideas from low-income communities, to go along with ideas that are coming from, more affluent areas? And I bring this up because, you know, obviously one of the objectives of most of these broadband efforts is to, where it can, where these programs can, to close the digital divide. And so I'm wondering if, you know, as you guys are moving this thing forward, are you getting that broad, you know, breadth of participation from people who may not be as engaged or may not have, you know, a lot of that technology already in place because of income status, you know, the basic computing, you know, tools and understanding and so forth?
Yeah, that's a great question, Craig. And let me back up and take it in a twofold fashion. The first is that we received the funding under this Broadband Innovation Fund through a grant from the U.S. Small Business Administration, and that grant is to focus on broadband usage, broadband computers and training, and promoting small business and economic development. And so we are using $500,000 for this Broadband Innovation Fund. And it's going on right now, so it's kind of a fast-moving, as-we-speak type of process. And we don't yet have the applications all in because they're not due until September 11th of 2012,
right.
So 10 days from now. But we also, and this is what I wanted to mention additionally, Craig, is that we also used another portion of these funds to address exactly what you just asked about, the computer training, the computer usage. We are building on a model that many people across the country, from Connect to Compete to the Federal Communications Commission, want. And in fact, we're working very closely. We have an application out to the Federal Communications Commission as part of their Broadband Lifeline pilot program. And our application is working with 7 telecommunications providers in the southern and western parts of Illinois, which are the most underserved and unserved areas of the state. And working with these 7 providers, we want to bring broadband to those people who are not currently connected, get them subsidized computers, get them low-cost connections, get many of them free training on the use of computers, so we can start to see what are the things that will make a difference in broadband adoption. So we are doing exactly what you just asked about. Now, as to whether we're getting the applications from the diverse communities, well, we certainly hope so. We've done this broadband innovation tour throughout the state, and I wanted to actually ask if Roxanna Ryan, our communications specialist, could speak about this, because she's just come back from the Broadband Innovation Tour and you know, was at most of these events, and maybe could speak just a little bit about the excitement and interest that's been out there.
No, that's excellent. Please come online.
Okay, here she is.
Roxanna, good morning and welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. So you have been out in the field, as it were, amongst the people, engaging what's going on. So what's happening out there in the real world?
Well, it's happening for sure. We've been out in 8 different cities throughout Illinois, big and small, everywhere. We held a live webinar in Chicago at the Illinois Institute of Technology, which is at the top of the state, all the way down to about the bottom of Illinois, which is a 6 or 7 hour drive down in Carbondale, Illinois, home of Southern Illinois University. We've been over in Western Illinois, Central Illinois, promoting this Broadband Innovation Fund that we've just launched. We really want to get our stakeholders excited and make sure everyone has an opportunity to apply and has the tools that they need to apply.
So what kind of specific feedback are you getting from folks in terms of, you know, what they want to do and what they hope to accomplish?
We are getting a lot of positive feedback. I think one of the key things about this grant is that the application and the request for proposals that we've put out is so incredibly broad. We're not saying, you know, everyone who applies has to be from a rural community, or these have to be proposals that will stimulate just distance learning, for example. We're trying to stimulate all of the different sectors identified in the National Broadband Plan and also what we focus on, job creation, education, healthcare, agriculture, public safety, as long as they are proposing something that deals with a broadband platform, we're accepting their application. So I think that broadness and that openness is what's really exciting to people and is letting people be creative and innovative in their applications.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Now, did you get any, you know, did people bring up specific ideas, you know, things they say, well, we'd like to try this, or we're thinking about doing that, or something like that, you know, where you had a sense of where they're going?
Yeah, that's a great question, and we were wanting to find that out, too, whether people would be open about, you know, stating their specific ideas, but, I mean, keep in mind, this is a competition, and people are competing for this money, so I think we're finding that while they're open to giving a general idea, and we've provided a lot of examples of applications that we might expect to see, we actually didn't see a lot of people, you know, eager to state their specific ideas because...
we got to win.
This is a competitive fund, and we are anticipating that we're going to have many more applications than we will have funding. And so we're looking for, you know, the most innovative applications that can, hopefully our goal is to be able to duplicate these programs that they'll be creating and applying for. We're hoping that the models that they're bringing to us can be duplicated and used in future years. We're anticipating and our reason for promoting this so much is that we want this to be something that, you know, really carries on other than this year. We don't want to just hand out money for computers. We want to really spark something here in Illinois and get people excited. So some of the applications that we might expect to see could be anything from like efforts to connect healthcare professionals with their patients in a particular region. Anything, a program designed to spur greater use of telework or telecommuting, which would save on gas costs. We had an interesting discussion in Peoria. They did kind of bring up a specific idea about they have a lot of healthcare workers who are working off-site in that region.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of discussing, off the record, putting a little proposal together along with a local provider to somehow stimulate that area of telecommuting, combining that in with the healthcare workers, people who are doing like transcriptions off-site, just don't have the bandwidth to do that
mm-hmm.
at their more rural location.
Right. Okay. So that's pretty interesting. I know we have the show. You know, we've talked about telemedicine, though probably not nearly in enough detail. It's good to see that is still still on the radar for a number of people. And, you know, I think I've had conversations with people where they talked about, you know, doctors being remote and doctors being able to dial in, but no one actually talked about the sort of the rank and file healthcare workers, which sounds like what this is about, really.
Yeah,
and now
We just haven't got into that arena enough as well. I mean, telehealth and telemedicine is just so intimidating, and it's something that we really do feel that we need to get a larger focus on. And, you know, we held a specific healthcare broadband meeting for stakeholders in that region that we are in, and they identified quite a few needs for us that have put it as action items. One of them was not enough access for nursing homes in their region. So our e-teams who work closely in those regions have been able to, like, create a map of those nursing homes and overlap that with the access maps and the network maps that we make here in-house. And that's something that we're really proud of and we want to continue doing.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear from seniors a lot?
We do hear from seniors. We... one of our BTOP recipients, which is Broadband Technology Opportunities Program, they are a group called Connected Living, and they provide training in computer training to low-income residents and seniors. And so we are seeing a lot of providers that have partnered with the Connected Living group, and they kind of do everything in-house. They provide the accessibility and a very specialized curriculum in-house to people in senior centers and low-income housing. So
mm-hmm.
that is another thing that's on our radar, and another idea that we do expect to see applications that deal with low-income senior citizens and definitely that demographic is huge to bridge the digital divide.
Mm-hmm. And how receptive is that audience? Because I think you often hear and you often see articles talk about, you know, that's an area that's slow to catch on to the technology. While I know there are advocates out there who, you know, people working in the trenches that say, you know, seniors are actually more engaged than we probably give them credit for.
I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's getting the word out there. I mean, I know the divide exists, but given the opportunity and the proper training and so forth, I know that Connected Living has had huge successes with their senior citizen population. Our other communications employee here went up and did a story, a success story on a Connected Living program, and it was really exciting for him to be able to see them. They actually have a graduation ceremony when the senior population goes through that specialized training and is able to connect with family members to access government services to do distance learning opportunities and just keep in touch and feel like they're part of the world. That's all part of their curriculum. And the Connected Living group actually holds a very formal graduation ceremony for them, and they, you know, go through and receive their diploma. And, you know, those on the private sector side, that's a whole other group of people who are subscribing to these services. So that's one thing that we really focus on here at mm-hmm. Broadband Illinois, is building those partnerships between the private and the public sector as well.
Well, there's definitely some pluses there to that that more people need to know about, and I think that it's good that that your group has recognized that. And at some point, I'm going to have to get the Connected Living folks on here. I know that they have been pretty aggressive out there, though. It's like a number of things related to seniors. I'm not sure if it's picking up the amount of traction that it should, but hopefully, we can do better by them. In these upcoming weeks.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. In the Peoria meeting that I was just at, and Peoria is a larger city, in north central Illinois, we met a provider there, a wireless provider who had partnered with Connected Living. And so he's a smaller guy, small independent wireless provider who mm-hmm. has, you know, he's done really well because he has, you know, partnered with Connected Living, and his company is now providing that wireless service to a low-income subdivision there. And he was just so proud that, you know, he's new to this field, but, you know, this is huge for his company while he's doing something really great. So we're going to go up and do a story on him as well. So
mm-hmm.
get out in the field and to tell the broadband success stories that are happening in Illinois.
No, this is definitely some some pretty good stuff. And it speaks well to the nature of the project. One thing you mentioned, I'm not sure if this is maybe more of a Drew question or not, but the question of the smaller companies, the smaller providers. I bring this up in light of Tuesday's interview we had on Matt Larson, who is he runs a WISP. And he's also in the board of directors for the Wireless ISP Association, WISPA. And a number of wireless ISPs across the U.S. are often feeling slighted because they get lost in the undertow, you know, because they're so small and they don't get covered directly by a lot of these bigger grant programs and so forth. I know you guys don't show favoritism, but do you do anything to make sure that, you know, the little guys that can, you know, that have a role to play don't get lost or crushed underfoot, which are actually two different things, you know, being lost and being crushed?
Well, we spread the love evenly, Craig. Drew Clark again here. We really do work with all different types of providers. I mean, we can kind of tick them off, right? There's the cable providers that have done an incredible job at pushing DOCSIS 3.0 in many communities. That's been responsible for upping the bandwidth speeds really dramatically. Let me just give you a little personal anecdote here. Until 3 months ago, I lived in a rural community outside of Springfield called Petersburg. It's 26 miles from Springfield, and small It's the town, the county seat of Menard County, but I was outside of town. There was not a cable provider or a DSL provider, or for three quarters of that time, a WISP, a wireless internet service provider. The only type of quote broadband I had access to was, you know, my BlackBerry or a MiFi card from one of the major cellular providers, and I couldn't, you know, bump 1 or 2 megabits on a good day. So my capacity was very, very constrained, and so I was off landlined broadband at home for nearly 2 years until we just moved to Springfield, and we now live in a territory served by a cable provider that has DOCSIS 3.0, and you know the speeds are 25 and up. I mean, and it's fabulous. We can really use Netflix and a lot of different things that you could not use effectively with that type of broadband. So, you know, there's plus and minuses to everything, and so cable is one provider that's been doing a great job. The telco providers. DSL, you know, serves a larger, I think their footprint in the state of Illinois is twice as large as the cable footprint. So DSL is going to more places. Their speeds aren't always as fast as the cable providers, but they're certainly trying and making an effort. And many of those providers of DSL are also investing in fiber rings, investing in symmetrical capacity that brings, you know, 10, 30 meg up and down symmetrical broadband. So you've got your cable, you've got your telecommunications, DSL, you've got fiber. Well, then there's the wireless providers. There's wireless internet service providers that we've been talking about. They, in some ways, are still the cowboys of the broadband world. They're out there. They're putting their transceivers on top of water towers and grain elevators, and they're the ones who, more often than not, are the link to people who have nothing. Again, when I was out in Petersburg, I thought there was a WISP that served me, but I inquired soon after I moved there, and they didn't reach my home. Well, lo and behold, you know, 20 months later, they did finally get on top of the water tower half mile down the road from me. So I could have then subscribed to that WISP. And the service was, as I understand it, I never subscribed to this one, but 5 to 8 megabits. So that's a pretty good quality for wireless. And then we've got our mobile providers, right? And, you know, although I couldn't get 4G out in that area, you know, Verizon over the past year has offered 4G in more and more markets around the state, including Springfield. 4G service is now available through Verizon LTE. Other wireless providers are also offering 4G service. So the speeds are increasing on the wireless side. And then we haven't even got to satellite, which is, of course, available pretty much everywhere. I have heard good things about Xceed, the new high-capacity broadband network that one of the two major satellite providers has put out there, but there are still some latency issues that you always get with satellite. So there are half a dozen technologies out there for getting broadband, and we want to encourage all of them in their own way to make the most of higher capacity services.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to seem like I'm jumping around here a little bit, but an interesting question popped up in the chat room, which makes me wonder, with seniors, one of the issues that seems to be a challenge for people everywhere that are driving broadband is getting seniors and anybody to be reimbursed by the insurance companies for the services they receive using the technology. And I don't know if you guys, as in your specific organization, you know, deals with this question, or you know, it's not something that you guys get engaged in because it's more of a, I guess, a lobbying effort than anything else. But I think it still exists. You know, until more stuff gets reimbursed, it won't be reimbursed, and if it won't be reimbursed, it presents another challenge. Has this issue come up? Has it been talked about in your particular world?
I am aware of this issue, Craig. It is a valid issue. But it's a little bit too much in the weeds for us to do anything about it, other than to encourage entities in Illinois, and we certainly can do that, I might mention that we play an important role in the Illinois Broadband Deployment Council, which is a body that Governor Quinn set up when he was Lieutenant Governor in 2005, and it's been active ever since. It meets on a quarterly basis, serves a broad constituency throughout the state, and it does consider policy issues. So that is certainly a forum where an issue like this could get addressed.
Mm-hmm. Great. No, that's good. You know, it's one of those things I don't, you know, obviously don't want to get lost in the shuffle, but then again, everybody has a mission that they kind of need to focus on as well, and they kind of deal with some of these other things as they can. That's totally understandable. Let's talk economic development. Definitely top of my mind because I'm in the middle of interviewing or surveying economic development professionals to get their take on broadband and its impact on economic development. What specifically is going on from your perspective that is addressing, you know, using broadband to improve local economies and to produce specific economic outcomes?
That's all about what we're doing, Craig. I mean, it is about economic development. Better broadband and better lives is about ensuring that communities do not miss out on the economic, educational, and other opportunities because they will then have access to fast, affordable broadband internet service. So we work closely with the economic development stakeholders. I talked a little bit earlier on about our 10 E-team regions around the state. Mm-hmm. And if you go to broadbandillinois.org, and you know, encourage your listeners either now or later to go to broadbandillinois.org and click on the tab that says E-teams, and you'll see a breakdown of the 10 regions in the state that we use to facilitate our activities. And I would, if I had to kind of encapsulate what the E-teams are doing, they are bringing the providers together with the economic development players. So we've got the providers, and they're out there, they want to sell broadband, they want more capacity, they want people to use it. And then there's the economic development officials who are all about making sure that there are jobs and growth and opportunities and hospitals have good capacity, educational opportunities exist for the kids in their regions so they don't, you know, leave when they graduate from high school. So we're about bringing together the users and the producers of broadband services. And the E-teams are about bringing economic development officials and entities and experts and enthusiasts together with the providers to enhance the business case and to make sure that all of the state can advance in its broadband capacity.
Mm-hmm. Do you establish markers for, you know, what is economic development? How is its success measured? Or do you just take it in a general sense of, you know, it'll have some positive impact on economic development? And I pose the question because a lot of times when people start to talk about broadband and economic development, there's a certain amount of pushback from people in the trenches. Well, you know, what exactly does that mean, and how do you measure it, and there's no way to measure it, and you get all this kind of negativity flowing out. And I'm just wondering, you know, do people in positions such as yours, you know, you're advocating and you're facilitating broadband deployment, does somebody take a role in trying to define what exactly success in those areas look like as a way to basically maybe help communities, you know, gauge themselves, figure out what they're going to do, figure out what solutions they want to create?
Absolutely, Craig. I mean, one of the key things that we do is we create maps and inventories of the state of broadband throughout Illinois. And let me frame this in three dimensions. The first is maps of broadband supply. And we've been doing this for more than 2.5 years, where we collect information about broadband availability. We seek to verify, probe, test, validate this information. So that's on the supply side, where broadband is and where it isn't. Mm-hmm. We also want to measure broadband on the demand side, what the uses are, how it is used, what are variations between one E-team region and another. And we are about to release within the next few weeks, Craig, a comprehensive survey conducted on a statewide basis, but region by region. So we're going to have different results where we can say, you know, West Central and the broadband usage in West Central versus Southern or mm-hmm. versus East Central. And this effort is led by our research director, John Horgan, who works as a part-time research director for the Partnership for Connect Illinois. John, of course, will be known to many of your listeners because of his role at mm-hmm. the National Broadband Plan and his long role at Pew Internet and American Life Project. And so that effort we will be unveiling again in the next few weeks. And then I guess the next step beyond that is beginning to measure the role that broadband has on economic development. And mm-hmm. while we don't yet have a simple formula, we are certainly working to build those metrics that show, okay, well, you know, the area around Moline in the northwest region had this type of broadband availability, this type of usage, in 6 months ago, and it has 6 months later this type of availability, this type of usage. We can begin to attribute, you know, certain amounts of the economic development to broadband. That's the kind of the holy grail that we're aiming towards, and being able to quantify and show metrics as to the benefits that broadband is bringing to the state.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty comprehensive. I think that's a good, you know, approach. It shows a little bit of forethought, and you know, because I've seen over the years a number of times when people will say they want to help, you know, economic development, but their actions somehow, I mean, it's often good and well intentioned, but they don't fully understand the needs from the economic development folks, and there's often a disconnect between, you know, the elected officials sometimes who are making the public statements about, yes, we want broadband for economic development, but then the goals that they establish in their political speeches or their stump speeches or whatever tends to not necessarily track with the, you know, what folks that are actually doing economic development know to be useful. So I think that's very good. Let's ask another question. We got about 7 minutes or so left. How do you know innovation when you see it, or are really what we're doing in these kinds of programs that are with the goal of driving innovation, what we're trying to do is create an environment and we kind of step back and let whatever flows out. And this stems from, you know, people sort of looking at you kind of like, well, what's innovation? I mean, it's a great idea and it's a very lofty goal and all the rest of it, but you know, we're spending all this tax money, what's innovation? You know, that's like one kind of pushback. And then the other kind of pushback is, well, you know, just hand out the money and get out of the way and then let innovation take its course, which may be sane, maybe not. I don't know. From where you're sitting, what do you think about these pushbacks?
So what we're trying to do with broadband innovation is to be a catalyst and the spur for those who want to use broadband to stimulate job creation, education, healthcare, agriculture, public safety, energy conservation, or e-government. And this Broadband Innovation Fund is under the leadership of our program manager, Ann Madonia, who's helping to facilitate and lead this effort here in Illinois. She's been the person leading our broadband innovation tour with 8 or 9 stops throughout the state where we have gone and explained this process. We have an RFP document. It's been on the website for 2 weeks now, August 16th. It was released, and it is lays out these criteria, maximum financial leverage through private, state, or local resources, proven experience or success in leading Illinois initiatives, utilizing a broadband platform to enhance the mission and effectiveness, enhancing job creation, economic impact, experience with Illinois-based projects, processes, and tools, development of regional innovation entrepreneurship systems, relationships with broadband providers and other stakeholders, project milestones and deliverables, maximum cost-benefit analysis, project team expertise, the ability to generalize from the model proposed by the application, and how the proposed plan stimulates the best use of broadband networks. These are the criteria that have been established for successful applicants to the Broadband Innovation Fund. And our goal in this is to, in some ways, get out of the way, to say we're not going to know what are the best applications until we put an RFP out there and invite everyone to come in and put forth their best shot. And these will be reviewed and evaluated, and will form the basis for the awards that we make in late September.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the observations I've made about some of these contests that happen in other cities is that they are very application, as in, you know, program. We're going to create this program that runs and it does X, Y, and Z. You know, it's like, you know, the next Facebook, if you will. But are there allowances for people who say, we, our application, if you will, is a different use of the network because we have all the speed? Meaning the I will create a vehicle by which I can link 25 school districts and we can all share resources. Well, that's not an actual physical software program. All it's basically saying is that we're going to use this connectivity in a certain way. Do those kinds of things, are they going to be considered for prizes as well?
Very much so, Craig, and we deliberately took out the word application and made it proposal just
Excellent.
For that purpose. We don't want people to think this is a software application. It's a proposal that can include the type of thing you just suggested.
That totally rocks, because I think what you get in the end, you know, a lot of advantages are just doing things differently, better, faster, what have you. It's not necessarily creating this, you know, application that creates all this buzz and, you know, glitz and everything else. I mean, there's a place for that, make no mistake. But I think that for a lot of places, you can get all kinds of great benefits just by virtue of the access and the speed of the access and, you know, the creative use of the access. So I think that that sounds pretty sane to me. Any parting words? We've got 2 minutes. You know, if you were talking to a peer who's responsible for their, you know, one of the other 49 states, what's like the one best piece of advice you can give them for achieving success at getting people on board with, you know, creating innovations?
Well, my piece of advice to the other state broadband initiative entities is don't be afraid to take the next step beyond the data. I mean, data is a key tool, but we're not doing anything if we aren't using that to promote better broadband and better lives. And we do that not by ourselves. We're not going to be putting the towers up or digging the trenches to put fiber or wireless towers. We're going to work in collaboration with providers, with others who use the broadband to make sure that these high-capacity networks get out there and that once they're out there, they get used. And so we, again, are a catalyst to better broadband and better lives. We work to convene, to connect, and to promote collaboration of all the players, the providers, the economic development stakeholders, consumers, users, small businesses, anchor institutions. And as we approach this, we obviously have been truly blessed by the great infrastructure of support for broadband here in Illinois. Obviously, we're in President Obama's home state, and he's been a promoter of broadband. But we also have in Senators Durbin and Senators Kirk, two individuals on each side of the aisle, a Democrat and a Republican, who both are very interested in broadband and making sure that broadband advances our state and its prospects. And we're also extremely fortunate that this has been something that Governor Quinn zeroed in on early on. From the time he was Lieutenant Governor, he said, what are the things that really need to happen to promote rural economic development or economic development in the state? And he said, came to his own conclusion, it's broadband. And that led to the Broadband Deployment Council, which has built this very strong base for activity that we at Broadband Illinois, the Partnership for Connect Illinois, have been able to build on top of. So
excellent.
I would say
Drew, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to interrupt you because we're about to go off the air. I don't want to cut you off, but I wanted to thank you. I'm going to take time to thank you and Roxanne and our audience for being here today, and we'll come back again and talk some more about what's going on in Illinois. Thank you very, very much for being our guest today.
Thank you.